This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of LGIM Talks. Today, we're going to be continuing our discussion of the endgame options available for DB pension schemes, and in particular, why the government's review of the regulation around surplus extraction could potentially lead to an increased desire among pension scheme trustees to consider running on their scheme. But before we dive into the detail, to what do these different terms of run-on and surplus actually refer? Well, to answer these questions and more, I'm delighted to welcome Matthew Webb to the podcast. Matt is Legal & General's Head of Endgame Solutions, and my name's Anthony, and I'm the DB Content Manager here in Legal & General's Asset Management Division. So, to kick things off, Matt, please could you walk us through what we mean when we talk about pension schemes choosing to run-on?
Well, thank you. Buyout has historically been the gold standard for schemes, and it will continue to be so for many into the future. But increasingly, we're seeing schemes now focus on run-on, whether in the short term, whilst they're getting ready for buyout, or in the longer term, to capture a surplus. That is, continue to pay pensions to members, and to continue with the obligation of running the scheme on the company's balance sheet in perpetuity. What's different at the moment? Well, with increasingly improved funding levels, clients are more focused on what their end game is. Be that buyout, run-on, or both.
Okay, great. So on a related note, when you talk about improved funding levels, Matt, I know that a key shift we've seen in the DB marketplace has been a discussion of surplus. So what do we mean when we use the term surplus? And could you give us some more detail on why it's just suddenly moved up the agenda for schemes?
Well, big picture, being in surplus means that the pension scheme has got more money than they need to meet their funding obligations. But it's a relative measure. It depends on what your objective is, whether that objective is to buy out, run on for the long term, or both. For example, in the annual funding statement this year, the pensions regulator grouped schemes into three types of categories. The first, those funded above buyout. The second, those funded above their technical provisions and below buyout. And third, those funded below their technical provisions. And it set out guidance for how each of those groups might proceed going forward. Why has this moved up the agenda? Well, because so many more schemes are in surplus on a prudent basis, many in a surplus on a buyout basis, and therefore people are asking, what should they do with that surplus?
And with this background of discussion of surplus, what are the potential high-level implications for schemes? And how does this discussion of surplus relate to a potential decision by schemes to run on?
Well, the key question here is what schemes can do with a potential surplus. It could just be used to provide greater peace of mind for all that the scheme is able to meet its benefits as they fall due. But beyond this, is there a potential to share the surplus between stakeholders? For example, could we uplift benefits within the scheme? Could the surplus be used to augment benefits in a DC section? Or could the surplus be returned to the sponsor for the long-term health of the group?
Thanks, Matt. I think that's a really useful background on how this potential surplus could be used, whether that be with DB, DC, or capital return to sponsors. And with this background in mind, how can schemes running on seek to generate surplus in terms of their investment approach?
Well, we must think of things from a holistic point of view. For each scheme, taking into account its overall objectives, the investments that it has, and the overall strength of the covenant. At the high level, the investment approach is one designed to pay pensions, to manage risks, and to generate returns, as we said. Now, it can be helpful to think about compartmentalising this. So primarily, to think about how do we mitigate downside risk and ensure those pensions are paid and those risks are managed. And that can be done via a matching portfolio that's designed to do that, investing in cash flow generating investments with LDI or CDI, as it's known. And then the residual assets can be invested for surplus generation, consistent with the broader risk appetite of the trustees and the sponsor and the ultimate objective that we described earlier.
Okay, so how does surplus extraction work in practice, Matt?
Well, for context, there are two key questions. Firstly, what's the surplus to be used for? And secondly, over what time horizon? So firstly, purpose. If the surplus is to be used to improve benefits, then effectively, that's a liability problem, the same as the underlying benefits that we are investing for to start with. So we might seek to invest those surplus assets pro rata to the existing investment strategy. However, were the surpluses to invest to generate a one-off or multiple cash payments in the future that don't have a relationship with the liabilities, then instead a traditional growth mandate can be approached. So, for example, a cash plus or an equity-based growth strategy on a diversified basis designed to generate value over the longer term. Secondly, investment approaches will differ if surplus is being extracted regularly rather than as a one-off payment in the future. The potential benefit of the latter approach is that the surplus could provide additional security for members, whereas the former could allow surplus to be shared with members on a regular basis.
Thanks, Matt. I'd just like to flag at this point for listeners interested in reading more about how surplus extraction works in process. We have a white paper available on our website termed Running On Into Retirement. Picking up from that, Matt, what are the relevant factors that schemes need to consider when seeking to extract surplus?
Well, schemes need to pay close attention to the evolving regulatory landscape and keep informed on the extent to which surplus can be extracted on an ongoing basis. But it's worth bearing in mind that subject to current rules, schemes can look to extract surplus today for member benefit through the use of discretionary benefit increases. And that secondly, it's always possible, subject to the terms of the trust deed and rules for each scheme, for assets to be transferred and extracted on wind-up following a full buyout.
Okay. So just playing devil's advocate for a second, are there any potential risks to schemes going down this route? What happens, for instance, if interest rates go back down? And what can schemes do to mitigate these risks?
So there are two risks that I'd point out. The first one is funding level risk, i.e. that the scheme's funding level deteriorates in the future. And that's because the scheme remains responsible for investing the assets in accordance with the covenant to achieve the ultimate objective of paying pensions, managing risks, and generating a surplus. The second is regret risk, that schemes that could have executed a buyout but didn't and chose to run on for longer find themselves unable to again in the future because the funding level has deteriorated or the market conditions have changed. And to mitigate both these risks, we suggest a combination of investment strategy, covenant support, and what we're calling the third endgame option, i.e. that's both. In other words, have a plan in place to run on for now whilst understanding how to buy out if you want to or need to later.
Thanks so much, Matt. Before we wrap up here, are there any final thoughts on Run On that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I'd like to leave listeners with the key message that whatever your scheme's endgame, be that buyout, Run On, or both, we're here to help build a bridge to your chosen destination. Thank you.
Well, that's just about all we have time for now. So on that note, I'd like to thank you, Matt, for joining me today. And I'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. If you'd like to discover more about the different endgame options available for DB schemes, then please visit our tailored blog page at elginblog.com/tags/endgame. Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Legal & General Investment Management Limited, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for information purposes only, and we are not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general economic, market or political issues and/or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not an offer or recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against Legal & General in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this document contains third-party information, the accuracy and completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person resident in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulation. Copyright 2024. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In Hong Kong, this material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.